We're going to start on something that I've been working on for quite a while. My study done all the way through James, and I'm working on 1 Peter now. I think for the college, either next year or the year after. And so what better place to try it out? Before I take it down there, we'll try it out up here. And I'm not sure which way that goes. I think I was more preparing it for here, and then I try it out here and take it down for them, because here's the people that I'm really preparing it for. So we're going to be looking at the book of James. So if you would open to the book of James right after the book of Hebrews. We did look at the book of James when we did our New Testament survey, but that was just a quick one evening overview of it. I have no idea how long this study of the book of James is going to last, or even how far we'll get tonight. Brother Travis is handing out the outline for James chapter 1. And as we get that and look at it, you'll see it's on the front of the page and the back of the page. And tonight we're just simply going by time. When it's time to be done, we'll be done. Whether that's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whatever time that is that we need to be done, we'll be done. You're saying, praise the Lord for the children's ministry. We have to be done when they're done. But that's not necessarily true, because Lewis preached last Sunday morning and he wasn't done when they were done down there either, so I don't have to worry about that. The book of James. Before we actually start into the outline, let me give you some information. And on the back of your page, at the lower section, there's lots of extra room there. And then on the outline, I kind of put extra space between each one so that you've got places to write things down or take notes as the Lord would lead you in it. But let's talk about the book of James before we get into it. The book of James is believed to be the oldest of the books of the New Testament. In other words, though it's placed two-thirds of the way through the New Testament, it was written before any of the other books of the New Testament. It is believed that Hebrews was written very early. We know that Mark was written before the other Gospels, but it seems that the book of James precedes all those other ones. We know it had to be written before Acts chapter 15. We'll talk in a minute if we get to that point that there are three men named James that are prominent in the New Testament. And, one of them disappears and one of them dies and then the other one's left. But by Acts chapter 15, these things have to be done. So that puts it in the 40s. All right. Not the 1940s, but the 40s. All right, like 45 A.D., 47 A.D., 49 A.D. are most of the dates that are given to it. So it is the oldest of the books of the New Testament. Now you say, well, if it's the oldest, why is it way back here, two-thirds of the way through the Bible? Well, notice, if you would, the title of the book of James, and I hope this is the title that you have, that your publisher put in, it is the General Epistle of James. All right, that's the title of the book, the General Epistle of James. Turn quickly to 1 Peter just to kind of give you an idea. And 1 Peter should say the first epistle general of Peter. General, that's the word. We're not talking about, yes sir, military. But these are general epistles. 2 Peter will say the same thing. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John will say the same thing. They're general epistles. All right, so James is the first of the general epistles. By general, it simply means this. It's not addressed to anyone specifically. The Pauline epistles, all right, after the Gospels and the book of Acts, when you start with Romans, now you got Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. When you go through those are all Pauline epistles, all written by the Apostle Paul. They're all addressed to churches or to believers. That's why that section is so strong for you and I, for us to get our doctrine. We don't usually go to the Old Testament to get our church doctrine. We don't necessarily run to the Gospels to get our church doctrine, because much of what the Lord said in the Gospels applies to the nation of Israel and the coming kingdom of God. But those church epistles from the wonderful, glorious book of Romans, probably the climax of Paul's church epistles and our doctrine, the doctrines of salvation and sanctification and separation, all there in the book of Romans. From that all the way to the end of them, to even counting Timothy and Titus and Philemon, are all addressed to believers. Hebrews, of course, was Paul writing to Hebrews, in case you didn't figure out that one, was Paul writing to Hebrews, so it's got a direct audience also. But starting in James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, it is a general audience. Now we'll talk about who he's writing to, but it's a general audience, so it's called the general epistle. James being the first one of those that was written. It is a very practical book, James is. Now having said what I said already, we're not going to James for our church doctrine. Right, when you read that second chapter that has people so befuddled, there's a good word, isn't it? Was not Abraham justified by works? All right, people get all blown out of shape out of that. Don't get your church doctrine from the book of James. It's not a church epistle, it's a general epistle. We'll see where it's aimed. It's a very practical book. In fact, James is the Proverbs of the New Testament. All right, the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's very practical. It talks about the tongue. It talks about rich people and poor people and how you treat them. It talks about the offices or the teaching offices in the church without mentioning deacons and pastors and things like that. You don't find those things. In fact, and this is the name of Jesus Christ appears only two times in the book of James. That's a very unusual thing. And that's not slighting that or lessening the importance, but it's just emphasizing that the book of James is not a place for New Testament Bible doctrine. A lot of folks read that passage about if someone's sick, calling for the elders of the church and anointing them with oil. Again, our church doctrine does not come from the book of James. It's very specific. It's a general audience. It's not a church-aimed audience. So all these things are particular about the book of James. One other thing before we get into it. Not only is it a very practical book, but the theme of the book of James is perfection. That's the theme. Again, it's a practical book. So the theme of it is perfection. Notice what I mean by that. Chapter 1, verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Your life and mine, folks, is supposed to be a developing life in Christ. We are supposed to be improving and growing in grace and in knowledge. It doesn't matter how old you are. You know, in life, I've kind of noticed this. I used to be 6 foot tall. It wasn't too long ago I realized I was 5 foot 11 and 3/4. Now I'm closer to 5 foot 11. Something's not going right here. That number's going down, but there's another number that's going up, and the order's not right here. All right? In life, that's how we do. In Christ, we should be growing, no matter how old we are, we should be getting taller in stature in the things of God. We should be always learning. I can promise you, when I study and prepare these messages and these lessons, I grow every time I do. I learn more every time I do it. And I've been at this for a while and done this in depth for a pretty good time, but there's just so much in the Word of God. We ought to always be growing. And James tells us that in the emphasis of his book is what he's giving us is for our perfection. Notice over in chapter 2 and verse 22. Again, that passage that causes so much debate and argument. Chapter 2, verse 22. Seest then how faith wrought with his works, talking about Abraham, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was his faith, what? Made perfect. His faith was made perfect. There's a lot of folks, you talk to them. You invite them to church. Sometimes you've known them for a while. And right out of the blue, they'll say, you know, when I was a kid, I went to a church camp and I trusted the Lord as my Savior. And you never would have guessed. You would never know that. Sometimes you meet somebody on the job and you find out after you get to know them a little bit that they go to church. They're a deacon in their church. And you never would have guessed that. You know what's happened? They have not made their faith perfect. That's what the Bible's talking about. Perfecting our faith. That's what James is talking about. Why does he write about all these practical things? Trials and temptations, the tongue, all that stuff. Because he's telling us how to make our faith perfect. And we all are always striving for that. Never be satisfied where you're at in your Christian growth, but always want to be going from 5'11 to 5'11 and 3/4 and hit 6 foot all over again. Always be desiring to grow. So this is the purpose for the book of James. Here's why it's placed where it is. Look at Hebrews, the book right before it, chapter 6, and verse number 1. Again, James, the first of the general epistles, immediately following Hebrews, the last of the Pauline epistles. Now, Paul's epistles are broken up. They're his church epistles. Then there are his personal or pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And then there's his personal ones, Philemon and Hebrews. But then following those, we go into the generals, and the reason James is first is because it's picking up the theme of what Paul mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Paul said in one place, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But now that I'm a man, I put away childish things. We ought to have graduated beyond the simple Sunday school lessons of things in church. It's amazing to me that older Christians are still debating things that they should have learned in Sunday school as a kid. It's time to grow up. It's time to put those things behind. It's time to move on to a different thing in a different area. So Paul said, let us go on unto perfection. And James now builds on that and says, here's how we make ourselves perfect. By enduring trials. By fighting off temptations. By controlling our tongue. That's what the book of James is about. So as we go into it, be mindful. It is a very practical book of trying to teach us how to attain perfection. Now you understand perfection doesn't mean what we jump to the conclusion of is one of these days I'll be perfect. Can I give you good news? Yes, you will. Can I give you bad news? Not in this life. You'll reach perfection, but only when the Lord changes this corruptible to incorruptible, this mortal to immortality. But that's supposed to be our goal. Perfection is our goal, and as long as we've got our eyes set on that goal, James is there to help us reach that goal. So here we go into the book of James this evening. First of all, in verse number 1, the Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there's one of the two times, chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 2, verse 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned. Only those two references in all of the book of James. He says, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let's start just with verse number 1. And our first Roman numeral 1 is the introduction to the tribes. The introduction to the tribes. James introduces himself. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. His introduction to the tribes. Now, this is not the Cleveland Indians. This is not that tribe. But these are other tribes that we're very familiar with. Let's look at this. First of all, letter A, the writer. The writer, the beginning of James chapter 1, verse 1. I forgot that I have notes here I'm supposed to follow. Here we go. Chapter 1, verse 1, the writer, James. Now, here's our first question. We can't get past the first word of the book of James. I told somebody tonight out from our church, I said, I've been working today on the book of James. We're going to start teaching it tonight. And I said, we've gone through the Old Testament book by book, one book each evening, and we kind of flew through that. But we're really hitting the brakes on this because we get to the first word in James, and we're going to slow down all of a sudden. This is going to be much more in-depth than our study of the Old Testament was. James. Which James? James was a common common Jewish name. Look back, if you would, at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Again, we're just going to take our time We're just going till it's time to stop, and wherever we're at, we'll stop and then pick up next time. I like that. James chapter 10. Let's try to identify who this James is. And believe it or not, there is some controversy, and I don't mean among Bible scholars and critics, but I mean good Bible teachers. There's some disagreement, and we'll talk about that. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 1, "Now when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Third, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother." So we've got James and John. We know them because these three in verse number 2 are that inner circle, Peter, James, and John. We always hear about Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John. But go on, verse number 3. "Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus." So now, within the Lord's 12 disciples, we've got two men with the same name. I wonder how that worked out. "James, go get something for me." There's two men by the same name. Did the Lord have to say James Zebedee? James Alphaeus? I don't know how that worked, but there are two different disciples by the same name, the name of James. Turn over to Acts chapter 1. Those are the disciples that were originally chosen by the Lord to follow him. And that was at the beginning of their calling. Well, they walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. They heard his Sermon on the Mount. They beheld the many miracles that he wrought. They followed him day and night. They saw him betrayed, delivered into the hands of the Gentiles, the Jews crying for his blood, and him crucified. But then they also, in Acts chapter 1, saw him resurrected. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 13, after that resurrection, they were come into the upper room. The Bible says, "Where abode both Peter and James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew." So we know Peter, James, and John. There's those same three. That's James Zebedee. "And John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus." So there's the two James. They made it all the way through. Hallelujah. Judas didn't. They made it from the original calling of the 12. They're the 12 in the upper room after Jesus has been crucified, buried, and risen again. These two James are still being faithful. So we've got these two James to contend with. Which one of these two James is this James? Well, to add something else to the pot, let's go back to... let's go back there. Where's my verse? Okay, there it is. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. These two James that were his two disciples are two apostles. They're two apostles, all right? They were of the 12. Is James Zebedee the writer of the book of James? Is James Alphaeus the writer of the book of James? Well, there's a third James, and this is probably a long shot, but here in Mark chapter 6, notice verse 3 as they are talking about Jesus and his heritage. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. This is a verse that Roman Catholics don't care for too much, because it tells us that Mary had other children. She had sons, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. There was not the perpetual virginity of Mary. "And are not his sisters here with us?" But one of the brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who actually would be a half-brother, Because Joseph would be this brother's father, but he wasn't Jesus' father. But Mary was the mother of love, so a half-brother, and he had a half-brother named James. So now we've got three James to kind of wiggle through and figure out. Well, we can kind of eliminate a couple of them. Those two fellows in Matthew chapter 10 and Acts chapter 1, James the son of Alphaeus, after Acts chapter 1 verse 13, disappears. We don't read about him again at all. In fact, we don't read about several of the disciples after that point. Peter becomes the preacher at the day of Pentecost. James and John are still around there for a little while. And then James, look at Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Verse number 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James. Now which James is it? The brother of John, it says. He killed James. That's James Zebedee. James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. So that James is now dead by Acts chapter 12. So if he's the writer of the book of James, it had to happen before Acts chapter 12, which doesn't look very plausible or likely. So that would kind of eliminate him as the writer. But then there's James Alphaeus in Acts chapter 1 verse 13, and we don't read about him again at all in the Bible. But we read about the other James. Look at Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians in chapter 1. Again, we're on the first word of the book of James. We might get to the second word tonight, I don't know. Which of the three James is it? Galatians chapter 1, verse number 9. That's not the right verse. 19. Galatians chapter, start in verse 18, Paul says, after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other, notice verse 19, but other of the apostles saw I none save James, which James? The Lord's brother. James, the Lord's brother. Now that narrows this James down to one person that Paul said that he saw. The problem with that is James, the Lord's brother, neither did his brethren believe in him. John chapter 7. We're really doing a Bible study on a name tonight, aren't we? John chapter 7. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk at Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, and the word brethren of course means his immediate family, depart hence and go into Judea that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. It's, if you can read verse number 3 with a sarcastic tone, that's what his brothers are saying to him. Verse 4, for there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Verse 5, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Can you imagine that? Growing up in the house, your older brother is Jesus Christ, and you don't believe in him? I mean, they obviously saw the miracles. They heard about the miracles because that's what they're talking about. They're kind of mocking him in verse number 3 and 4. Telling him, go out and do this stuff publicly. Do it out and open. Don't just do it behind closed doors, but go show who you are. They're being sarcastic with him. Because neither did his brethren believe in him. But something happened to this James, the Lord's brother, that changed his outlook. After the resurrection, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 15. John chapter 7 tells us his brethren did not believe in him. James and Joseph, Simon, Judas, his sisters, they didn't believe. But at least James came to saving faith after the resurrection. He saw his brother, or knew that his brother had been betrayed. His brother had been crucified. His brother had been buried. There were the rumors of him rising again. And I'm sure James, in his skepticism, did not buy into it until 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now let me get sidetracked here, but on purpose. Notice verse 1 said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." What is the gospel? Well, some of the modern Bibles change that word gospel to good news. And truly, the gospel is good news, but don't change the word. What is the gospel? Verse 3, "that Christ died for our sins." Might want to underline that in verse 3. That Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. But that's not the end of it. Verse 4, "and that He was buried." I've underlined that. "And that He rose again the third day." That's the gospel. Paul said, I've delivered to you the gospel that Christ died for our sins, He was buried, and He rose again the third day. That is the gospel. Say, why is that so important? You ever heard of a denomination called the Full Gospel Church? They believe there's more than those three things to the gospel. They add other things to the gospel. Now, not only them, but there's other denominations that add something else, like baptism to the gospel, or good works to the gospel. But Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. Then in verse 5 he says, "and that He was seen after His resurrection of Cephas," that's Peter, then of the twelve, so the other disciples saw Him. "After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Verse 7, "after that He was seen of James." Then of all the apostles. The apostles already saw Him. So that's not talking about the two in Matthew chapter 10. He already appeared to the apostles and to James. This was James' conversion. When he saw his brother after his death, burial, and resurrection, James became a believer in Christ. James, the brother of the Lord, now is counted as one of the believers. Look back at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 14. In verse 13, again, were the two James in verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer, with supplication, with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with," who? "His brethren." Those four half-brothers and his half-sisters all believed also at this point in time, after the resurrection. So the James that is the writer that identifies himself in the book of James is the Lord's brother. It's not the other two. Now some of them think it's James Zebedee. That James was written before Acts chapter 12, which it would have to be if it was that James, because that James died in Acts chapter 12. But the claim is, it couldn't be James the Lord's brother, because every book in the New Testament scripture had to be written by an apostle. That was the test. That's why the book of Enoch does not appear in our Bible. That's why some of those apocryphal books are not in. Because the requirement of getting into Scripture was that it had to be written by an apostle. Well, James, the Lord's brother, was not one of the 12 apostles. So there would be a predicament there. Except for what the Bible says. Go back again one more time to Galatians. We read the verse already. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 19. "But other of the apostles saw I none, save," that means except, James, the Lord's brother. You know what that save means, that accept? It means he was an apostle also. What was the requirement for an apostle? To have seen the Lord during his earthly life and to be an eyewitness of his resurrection. That's a requirement in the Bible for a New Testament apostle. Now the word apostle means sent one. And sometimes we refer to a missionary as an apostle of the Lord, but in an official title. In an official title, you had to have been with the Lord during his earthly ministry and physically seen his resurrection. You turn on the radio or the television sometimes, and some of these preachers up there call themselves apostle this guy or apostle that guy. Well, unless they're 2,000 years old, they're not apostles by the biblical definition. When the Lord appointed offices for a church, he put pastors and deacons. He called them collectively or elders, but there's no apostles. Those died out when the generations died out that could have seen the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here the writer of James is this James who is a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you this. If he was a modern day preacher in 2019 and he had a heritage like that, he had a genealogy that you could brag about, don't you know they would be shouting it from the mountaintop? James could have been running around saying, every time he met somebody, shook hands with him, "Hi, I'm James, the Lord's brother. Hi, I'm James, my father's Joseph, my mother's Mary." He could have put on the nines for everybody he met. But what does he say in verse number 1 of James? James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. A servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful attitude. What a wonderful spirit. He's not having any problem with that. He's willing to take on that title as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, there's no reason we shouldn't be able to say we're nothing more than servants. If James, the Lord's brother, could refer to himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, surely you and I can. We don't have a heritage to boast of like he did. And yet he said, "I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ." So letter A was the writer. There, we got through Roman numeral 1, letter A. We got time for letter B. At least we can start on it. Verse number 1 gives us the writer, James, a servant of the Lord, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see number 2, or letter B, the recipients. The recipients. The writer and the recipients. R-E-C-I-P-I-E-N-T-S. Recipients. Who is it? We know who it's written by. It's written by James. And again, in those days, they started their letters with their name. What a good way to do it. I've seen articles, I go online, I see an article's written, and I'm going down to the bottom real fast to find out who wrote it, so I can go back up and understand why they're writing what they're talking about. Back then, they put their name first. That makes complete sense. So the writer is James. Well, who is he writing to? The Bible says here, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, we just went through our Old Testament study. We saw what happened to the wonderful kingdom of David. After 40 years of King Saul, and 40 years of King David, and 40 years of King Solomon, for 120 years, Israel had three monarchs, 40, 40, and 40 years. But when Solomon died, you know the story. Rehoboam is wayward son took the kingdom, divided it. The Lord took it away from him because of his harshness with his people. And the Lord divided that kingdom. 10 of the tribes followed Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon. 2 of the tribes followed Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. And those two tribes went on. We saw those northern and southern kingdoms go on till the northern kingdom was taken into Assyrian captivity, and the southern two tribes were taken into Babylonian captivity. And those two lines of the tribes are eliminated and gone and disappeared. If you meet a Jewish person that's 100% Jew in their background today, they don't know what tribe they are. But here's what they do know. They're of one of the 12 tribes, because there's not a 13th. They don't have to know which one. They know this. I'm Jewish. I'm from one of the 12 tribes. James is writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. He's writing to Jewish people. James, and kind of back up a little bit, James, the Lord's brother, in the book of Acts, becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem. Now, he becomes the leader because he's a humble man. Not the Lord's brother, a servant. And he becomes the leader at the church in Jerusalem. And his ministry is to Jews. You know the story. Peter goes out and talks to Cornelius. And Cornelius, the Gentile, gets saved. Then Paul is called to be a minister to them. But James never lost his burden and desire for the Jewish people. He was strictly Jewish through and through. In fact, you know the story in the book of Acts that when the Gentiles started to get saved, James didn't buy it. Peter and Paul had to call back to James, call back on the phone. They had to contact James and said, hey, the Gentiles are receiving the word of God just like the Jews are. They had to make a trip all the way back from Antioch to Jerusalem and stand before James and John and the other elders of the church and declare the salvation of the Gentiles because James didn't buy it. Now, after that council met in Acts chapter 15, we read there that James said, all right, you go back and tell them, we'll lay no burden on them. We won't put the law on them other than not to eat meat that's offered to idols, to abstain from blood. James was Jewish through and through. And here, when he writes the Gospel of James, and I might say this also, James, many believe, was a sermon he preached from the pulpit at the church in Jerusalem that was recorded. Somebody wrote it down. So James was not James sitting down with a tablet writing the book of James, if that theory is true. And again, we don't have any definitive information. But they believe that this was James preaching and somebody writing it all down. Another interesting thought about that, the early church fathers, Irenaeus, Papias, all those guys, they claimed that the book of James was originally written in Hebrew, not in Greek. It was later translated into Greek as the book of Matthew and the book of Hebrews, which makes total sense. I always chuckle when I hear people say, well, Jesus in the upper room, the night before his crucifixion, with his disciples, was speaking Aramaic. And I thought, really? A Jewish man, a Jewish Messiah, with his Jewish disciples, alone in private in the upper room, was not speaking Hebrew to them? I'd like to have been in the room that night. Because Jewish people, when they get around Jewish people, hey, you take these Filipino students from Marietta Bible College, they're talking to you, they're going to speak English. They talk to each other, they don't speak English. They're rattling off something, they do it in college all the time when they have questions with each other, they're rattling stuff off there. Jesus and his disciples in the upper room were speaking Hebrew. James, in addressing the 12 tribes, is addressing them in Hebrew. And it was later translated into, quote-unquote, the original Greek. So the original Greek is really a translation from Hebrew, and that opens up a whole other door of things going on. But the epistle is addressed to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Who are they? These are the children of Israel who are scattered throughout the region. Not by the king of Assyria taking them into captivity, or the king of Babylon taking them into captivity. But these were scattered according to Acts chapter 8, and this will be our last verse tonight. We'll pick up with this more next time. But in Acts chapter 8, these Jews are scattered because of the persecution. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, and for Saul, who later we would know as the Apostle Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. The same words in verse 4. They that were scattered abroad. Because of the persecution in Jerusalem, many of the disciples spread. Disciples is every believer, every follower, not apostles. They spread everywhere throughout the regions of Pontus and Galatia and Bithynia and Cappadocia and all of Asia. They traveled everywhere, getting away from the persecution in Jerusalem. And now James, the head of the church in Jerusalem, has a burden for these Jews that are scattered abroad everywhere. So he delivers this message, this sermon, as it were, this book of James, to them to read wherever they're at, to give them encouragement to perfect their faith. Again, that's the theme of the book of James, to perfect their faith. All right, we've gotten through Roman numeral 1, letter A and B. At that rate, it'll only take us 5 years to finish chapter 1. Let's stand together this evening.